friends, I'm turning this morning to the Gospel of Matthew and to chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. And we pick up the reading from verses 24 to 27. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Friends, this morning our title is Building Your Life on the Rock. Building Your Life on the Rock. I think you know that Matthew, especially this chapter 7, is full of gospel sermons, right from the beginning. And this is the last end of the famous Sermon on the Mount by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And here in verses 24 and 27, the emphasis is on building your life on the rock. If you go to the preceding verses, you see that Christ was comparing the life of a genuine Christian, a true believer, and a hypocrite. That's exactly what Christ was doing here. Let's see from verse 20. Said, therefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. He's referring to the true and the hypocrite. By their fruits you will know them, whether they are genuine believers or hypocrites. And I think this is a lesson for both unbelievers and people who think because they come to church, they are saved. It is a sermon that will let you examine yourself truly if you are in the faith, if you have truly believed, if you are born again. This is the sermon that will teach you this. Because if you go to verse 21, it says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. This is a very powerful saying. It is not just saying, Lord, Lord. It's not just saying coming to church. It's not just saying, I've given my life to Jesus Christ. When you ask people whether they are saved, that is what they tell you. I've said to Jesus Christ, I've done this, I've done this, I've done that. People think because of that they are saved. And here Christ is saying that it is those who do the will of the Father. They are the ones that will be with him. They are the ones that are truly saved. We will talk more about this thing. And then if you come to verse 22, which is very, very serious, it says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And look at the reply that our Lord said. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You see, he's not just saying that they are not part of him. He's saying that they are working iniquity. Even what they are saying, what they think they are doing, and they think that will earn them salvation. Christ is telling them that it is a work of iniquity. Then he comes to our chapter from verse 24. So as I said, we'll be looking at building your house on the rock. So get to know what it means to build your house on the rock, and then what it means to build your house on the sand. One thing I like about the parables of Jesus Christ is that they are always things that are very common in life, either in farming, like in crop farming, or in fishing, and things that we are all aware of. You see here, he's talking about the rains. We all know how devastating sometimes when it rains, especially those who are in areas where are in lowlands, see how the rains can pull down houses and people become hopeless. But then you see the same rain and there are houses that are built on high hills and they are not affected by this rain. In other areas, not in, here, we don't have the hurricane, the tornadoes, and all those things. But those who are on high grounds most of the time are saved because of the position of their houses. And I think it is good to have that kind of peace of mind to know that your house is safe when it comes to rain. But it is much more important to be certain about your spiritual house. And this, because there will be storms. And so it is important to have your spiritual house solidly built on the rock to be able to stand the storms which may come against you spiritually. Because they will come, no matter who you are, there will be storms in your life. There will be storm in the life of a Christian, there will be storm in the life of the non-Christian. But what will be your defense if you are not a Christian, if you are not in Christ? How do you stand against the storm? This is what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is talking about in this passage as he comes to the end of his sermon on the Mount. He is saying that there are two kinds of houses, spiritual houses, not physical houses, that you can have. Either a house built on the rock or a house built on the sand. That is spiritually. And he also teaches us exactly what this means. This parable, he explains to us what it means, which we are going to get there very soon. And opay ye church and ye refreshery Matthew Mumano etin son and y mwa edisu etosu edionu nine we see edionun son. Na honna yesu e kase. Sir, would you have brabo a share of botanso? Would you see a botanso? A brabo woborn, a hifan or a brabo, you see. Now they are two a diamond, say a diamond, we see, number who see a yam, number who see a botanso. Now, all can say, sir, a diamond will mean in iron. Say a so far, nothing from a bar, a bebony in iron. Never mind, you see a botanso, no, a betting a gina because of baby I see an inti. And you see, and you know, dear, in so try betting me, I'm born out of it. When you have a small Yesu, I can actually now over time, so I teach him what say, a small canoe, Nintias here. And I make up the star, and Chechia Yakin, if Yesu, Ninchia or Chia offend the Sermon on the Mount, a honor of the cancer same with me now, not the bad area yet, it's not just okay, somewhere in Yanon, and okay, that same with the canoe. And one of the things we should learn in this passage is that, like I said, we have storms in the two houses, both houses. In verse 25, what did Christ say? He said, the rain fell, and the flood came, and the wind blew, referring to the house on the rock. And then when it comes to verse 27, it happened to the same house. He said, the rain fell, and the flood came, and the wind blew. So like I said, everyone will have storms in your life. Once you live in this wicked and this doomed world, you are bound to have all these things in your life. But the difference is, how are you able to solve your problem? The storms that will come onto you. So he said that the same trials come to both of them. Both of them had rain, both of them had floods, and all of them have the winds. So one of the things we should learn from this is that you are not somehow exempt, even if you are a Christian, from the trials of this world. Whether you are a child of God or not, you will go to, because Christ said, in this world you have tribulation. But take courage, because I've conquered the world. Because you are in Christ, even when the storm comes, you have Christ to defend you. If you don't have Christ, the storm comes and then blows you away. That is exactly what Christ is saying here. So if you are a Christian and you think that because you are a Christian, as people say, no weapon formed against me, whatever, it can happen to you because you are living in this same sinful world. It can happen to you. It will happen to you because you are living in this world. So how are you preparing that when that day comes, you'll be defended? By building your house on the rock, where it will be solid and it can never be moved. By putting your life in the hands of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he is the only one who says, I've conquered the world. That's how he could say, have courage. You have tribulations in this world, but take courage, I have conquered the world. So it's like you are fighting a battle that has been won already by our Lord and Savior Jesus. But you can't say this to yourself if you haven't given your life to Him. If you are not truly born again, you can't say that to Him. That is what He's trying to explain to us. As Christians, we will get sick, you will get problems with your job, you will have problems with your marriage, with your kids, and whatever. So the rain and the flood and the wind is what he's referring to. All the trouble that we have in this world is common to everybody. But then, Christ will be there when ours come. So, I'm sure all of you will bear with me that we've all been through problems. In this life, we see that everybody goes through problems one way or the other. The difference is that, as a Christian, you have a foundation that holds you up through the storms. Whereas on the other way around, the non-Christian does not have that foundation which will take them through. I know of Christians who are involved in accidents and sicknesses and a whole lot of things. Just last Monday, a very close friend of mine was shot. This man is a poor man. He doesn't have anything. He repairs sunglasses. That's what he does at Circle. He went to collect some sunglasses to be repaired, and then to give those that he had repaired to the people. And then he was just standing there looking for taxi when two men came onto him demanding the bag. He didn't resist. He didn't do it. All he saw was that they pulled a gun and shot him straight in the chest, in the left chest. He's still at the Kolebu emergency. He's a Christian. He hasn't done anything wrong. He was going about his own work. So yesterday when I called him and I said I wanted to come and visit him, but I'm unable, but I'm praying with him. He said, "Oh, so you just pray, thank God, because I'm surprised that I'm alive." The blood that came out of him and he's still alive, he himself is wondering. And that's what I'm talking about. Christ will be with us. We will go through the storms, but in all of them, he will be with us. So I know a lot of Christians who have gone through problems, and in all the problems, Christ has been with them because they've taken him as their rock. So if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, never think that you are exempt from problems in this world. Not until we die and go and be with him. We live in a world of disappointments, a world of evil, a world of what uncertainties that happens. And we all see what is happening. Right from the September 11th, this world has never been the same. Things are getting worse and worse and worse and worse. And this is exactly what the Bible warns us. That when we see these things, we should know that the end is at hand. And we should turn to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, one thing I want us to know, what it means to build your house on the rock. You have to understand that building your house on the rock, it doesn't mean what a lot of people think it means. That have money, fortify your house and all those things. No. He's talking about your spiritual house, your soul. How safe is your soul? In a world of uncertainties and wickedness and evil, how are you protecting your soul? And the only way is to have your life built in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Sometimes you hear people saying, "Jesus is my rock, so I will stand, I won't fall." And they say all those things. But have they really believed in Him? Are they trusting Him all their lives? Are they having Him in their mind or just mentioning his name? Christ will explain this to us very, very soon. Remember in the verse, Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord.'" You hear what he said? Not everyone who... Here, he's not talking about pagans. He's talking about Christians, people who say they are Christians. And yet he says, "I will tell them that I don't know them and they are working iniquity." What they think they are doing and they think it is good for them to do, he's telling them that it is iniquity. They are all sins. So what does it mean to build your house on the rock? We should know that this is the picture that Christ gives. Because in verse 24 he says, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them may be compared." The word "compared" makes the difference. That is an illustration. It's a parable. "May be compared to a man who built his house upon the rock." So if you hear the word and you don't act on it, you are like the person who built his house on the sand. You don't just come to the church and because you think you have come to church, you are saved. You have to come and practice what you hear. Whatever God, the word tells you, you have. The word compares means he's saying that it's an illustration and not like a normal house as we talk about. So we have to know how we interpret the illustration. He said that a man who built his house on the rock is an illustration of the person who hears these words of mine and acts upon them. The person who hears the word and acts upon them, he is the one who builds his house on the rock. So it is a picture of a man who hears the word of God and acts upon them. And the one who does not act upon them, the one on the sand is a picture of the one who comes to the house of God, listen to the sermons, and then go out and nothing happens. He doesn't practice it. So building your house on the rock means doing what Jesus says you must do. And then building your house on the sand means not doing what Jesus says. The only difference there is doing or not doing what Jesus says. That makes you the true Christian. So that's why I said that it is a sermon that will let everybody examine himself or herself, whether he's truly in the Lord or not. And I think this is very, very important for a church as we have here today. Because there are a lot of people, and I'm sure we all testify, there are a lot of people who think that because they go to church, that's why our brother was preaching last week about the narrow way and the broad way. You see a lot of people this morning when I was coming, I saw people rushing to church, and I was telling my son that I wish all these people are going to hear the true gospel. If they are going to hear the true gospel, Ghana will not be as we are seeing it now. Because we see a lot of people rushing to go to church on Sundays, and yet they're not practicing what they hear from the church. Some are not hearing the true gospel as they should hear, and even those who hear too are not practicing it. They won't take they don't take it serious. So everybody, about 90% of the people who go to church are building their houses on the sand. Very few are building their houses on the rock. People think, oh, because I go to church every Sunday and I hear the word of God. But you have to understand, both men in the story heard Jesus' words. Those whose houses were on the sand and those who were on the road, they all heard the word of God. But the difference is that one man listened and the other one didn't. He didn't take it serious. So the difference is not what whether you went to church or what you did, but the difference is what did you do with the word that you heard from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm sure the two of them, they all go to church, they all do everything that normal Christians do. But the difference is that how serious are you taking the word of God? So we see that the total difference between the two men here is that one did and the other one did not what Jesus said. So building your house on the rock means exactly doing what Jesus Christ says. So that is, we hear that at the end of this greatest sermon, Christ is warning that people must be serious with his word, because he was coming to the conclusion of all what he has told them. You have to use them, otherwise it will be a waste. Christ is saying that there's one thing that they must know, that merely hearing what I've just said is not enough. You have to do it. That is what makes you the born-again Christian. It's interesting, if you go down to verse 28 and 29, what Christ said. He said, and it came to pass, when Jesus had ended this saying, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught as one having authority. And not. So you see, they were astonished at his preaching. But how did they treat it? So it is not just being astonished. Don't say that, oh, this preaching is true. The Reformed teachings are true. I like it. I'm not practicing it. It's like knowing the botanical names of foods and herbs and not applying them in your life. If you know names and the uses and the benefits of herbs and whatever, and you don't use it, you can't benefit. And that's what it is. If you know the truth about salvation, that repent and believe in Jesus Christ and commit your life to him, you hear it week by week, and then you go and still live on as you are living, you are not building your house on the rock. You are building your house on the sand. Because these people, as I just said, they were astonished It means they saw the teaching to be true, the doctrines to be true and powerful, and yet they did not practice it. So you can't just come and admire the doctrines of the Reformed faith or the true gospel that you hear and then go and you don't do it. And I'm sure those people, as they left the scene, they'll be thinking about the teachings of Christ, that he's wonderful, he's powerful, his doctrines are true. Because like he said he preached like somebody who has authority. They are comparing it to the scribes and the Pharisees who have been preaching to them, that Christ was preaching with authority. So how come that they did not practice it? The Makenyan and some may born no tofa say asema yekano yesu asema wokenyan say wa ope se e wiase a yewe mu no asemba tu obi a is ye wiase a babu che say e wiase we no aye doom it is pepe bi enfim ma say ya na e say na me kan say e free da arab for no eko tutu bomb war American September 11th no e free ho e wiase e ma say dia tie no bi o security is bad, economy, everything. And now we had the Ebola. Now we had the COVID-19. Who knows the next one? It's getting worse and worse and worse. Until if you are still a woman, you are not there ever be you. Until the rest of the fire is all the be money and coupon. We are coming, Muno. We don't have money to pay. And yes, all we are not in the bank. We go how we say, Oba sorry, no qua. And no, no. We share now, so we cross sorry. We cross sorry. Ha. We didn't want sorry with. Because they go to school, no? Presbyterian church for no more, you go to. Or see, oh, cow, obey, and one bed of the room. You see, they are asking you whether you are named, not a woman that's all them or no. In heaven, are you known before God truly in your heart? Have you given your life to Jesus Christ? That is what they're talking about in the book of life. The book of life is not the book that you see in churches where you go and pay your tithe and then people praising you. No. The book is in heaven, and those whose names are written in are those who have given their heart truly to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and committed their lives unto Him. You see, when you come to church and even you hear the word of God, I want to challenge all of us. When was the last time that you planned to do something and then you came to church and because of the sermon that you heard, you decided not to do that thing again because you heard what the Bible is saying about that? You see, this is where you say that you are practicing the word of God. If you plan something to do in your heart and you come to church and we are talking about maybe a sermon and then it comes in what you want to do and you can decide to say, no, because of what I've heard today, I'm not going to do this thing again. This is true obedience to the word of God. So, upa sorry, not a sermon, you can't be can't one fire near you, my dear. Not the ones who never soon I was soon. I never pack. Say, and I make up the place before. No, maybe also I will be and my banner with you. Man, I can't. Young woman like that, I saw them. Who do cram and Yanko and Pa? When that's why you know, who do no one say no more? Say, they are turning because of my engine. Oh, yeah. Say, what do you mean for now? Who call the hobby? Lord, I believe this is what I must do. Because I'm weak, I can do so. Help me. That is the interesting thing about the Christian life. You don't do things by yourself, by your own power. It is you accepting in your heart that you really want to live like this, and the help will come. Because God knows our state. We were all born in sin. We have lived in sin. Our nature is sinful. There's nothing we can do. Our trust is only in Him and the death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary alone. So if you come and hear the word of God, and you can't even do what he's saying, pray to him. He will give you the power and the grace to be able to do it. I said, my name is Bizani, say, Kaka, which you said, the Ben, our ba, sorry. If you are about him, for say, obey, I did. Now, ba, sorry, no, but tea, I send you. Now, I said, now, but tea, and you know, coffee, and what's the idea, no, who you view. And the chair said, when you come past him, no, age, my womb. Uma, when you go, I'm not going to come past him. And when tea, I did enough for saw him. What's the one? And the chair said, who still dying? Oh, about time so. Let's go to James 1, verse 22 to 25. and what he says about obeying the word of God. James chapter 1 from verse 22 to 25. He said, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. For if anyone be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man, beholding his natural face in the glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forget what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continue therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." You see what he's saying? He said, if you hear the word and you do it not, and you think you are saved, look at what he said. He said, you are deceiving yourself. Oh, that thou who? So, what is seminal? Now, for seminal, you are a oh, that thou who? The same Presby church, because I went to a Presby school, that's what I'm quoting, they used to sing some hymns. A tearful, a refusal. I'm an Adam. So, what is seminal? Not a seminal truth, you require. I mean, Adam said, we are peace on you. That's what James is saying here. Don't deceive yourself. You are deceiving yourself. So, it is only the doer that will be blessed by his deed. So why is James saying that the person who hears the word is deceiving him or herself? Because the one who hears the word often thinks that they have done what they are supposed to do. They think, I've come to church, I've heard the word, and I'm okay. Because they just listen to it. And the truth is that is not enough. You have to also do it. That is really what James is saying. If you don't do it, and you think that you are a Christian, you are deceiving yourself. And I'm sure a lot of people think like that because they come to church, they are saved, they are good Christians because they were in church, they heard the word. But Christ is telling you plainly that is not enough. They will not make the difference for your life. There will be no difference in your life if you come and hear the word and go and you're behaving the same. You will never make any difference. There was a wicked king, Herod. I'm sure you've all heard about Herod and what he did to John. Because he was committing adultery and John pointed it out. In the end, he had John beheaded. But interestingly, in Mark chapter 6, verse 20, it tells that Herod used to enjoy listening to him. He used to enjoy listening to him. The same Herod who beheaded John. Mark is saying that he enjoyed listening to John. So if you enjoy listening to him, and he tells you that as an adulterer, you have to repent, why should we kill him? And if, even when he was asked to kill him, when his daughter demanded the head of John, we are told that the man became very sad. Because he knew that John was right. And yet he killed him. And that is what is happening here now. You can hear the true word, but if you don't apply it, you are just joking. You are deceiving your own self. Because he said he enjoyed listening to him. What did he enjoy listening to? To the word of God. You see? Because the same Mark said that, "For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man." He knew that he was a just man, and what he was saying makes sense. Should not be committing adultery. He said he was a just man and holy, and observed him. And when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. Then in verse 26, when the daughter asked him the head of John, we are told that the king was exceeding sorry. Why was he sorry? Because deep down in himself, he knew that John was right. And that is what it is. The hard truth today is that there are many, many people who are behaving like the wicked king. They enjoy the word of God. They like listening to them. But when it comes to actual commitment, it's a different thing. We've all seen people, a lot of people who have come, oh, we love the Reformed teachings. We love the gospel of the God's redeeming grace and so as compared to what we are hearing. But yet, when you ask them to come to church, they won't come. So why are you saying you love it? If you love it and you don't practice it, you can never gain, as I said earlier on. So if you really want to build your house on the rock, you have to do what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ says. We know that our salvation is not based on what we do. We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, and in Christ's work on the cross alone. That is our Baptist doctrine of salvation. We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, and in Christ alone. But if you are saved by this grace alone, through faith alone, and in Christ alone, you must show fruit. It must bear fruit in your life. That's what Christ was comparing earlier on with the true Christian and the hypocrite. If you have truly believed in this and you have committed your life to Him, it must show by your fruits, by your life. It must show how serious you take the word of God. So very simply put, the person who builds his house on the rock is the person who does what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ says. Now, let's come to how to build your house on the rock. So how do we do this? We have known what it is to build your house on the rock, but how do you actually do it? The actual implementation. We know that when Christ was walking on this earth and teaching his disciples to build their house on the rock, he meant whatever he told his disciples, they would do it. That's what happened. When he was on earth, whatever he told his disciples, they were doing it. When Christ told Matthew to leave his tax office and follow him, that was building your house on the rock. As soon as Matthew heard the word, he got up and followed him. That is building your house on the rock. Getting up and leaving his office and following what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ said. That is what it means to build your house on the rock. When he told his disciples to take the loaves of bread and feed the multitude, what did they do? They did exactly that. They did what Christ told them. And then the miracle happened. So if building your house on the rock meant getting the bucket and taking the bread out, they just did exactly that. And then they saw the miracle. If Christ had told them and they never lifted the bucket, they would never have seen any miracles. But things are different today. Now Jesus is not physically with us as he was with them. But he has given up his command in his word. So we can still build our house on the rock by doing what Jesus says in his word. And that is what we preach to people. You hear the gospel and you obey. So today, if you want to build your house on the rock, the first thing you have to do is to read and listen to God's word regularly so that you know what he's telling you to do. As we have just said, just hearing and reading is not enough. We have to do it. But we do need to hear. Romans says that how will they hear? How will they be saved? People must tell them the word. People must go and preach. They must hear. That is why sometimes some people just wake up all of a sudden, especially these celebrities and those, the last time we saw was these fetish pieces. All of a sudden he says he's converted. So my question was, what did he hear? And who told her? You don't hear anything and you are sitting down there and you think something can just be right into you and right away you are saved. It is never true, because the Bible says you must hear the word. You must hear and believe and repent and give your life to Christ. Then you are saved. You can't just sit down here and just say God told you something by revelation and then you have become a Christian. No, it is not true. The Bible says they must hear. And hear and then repent. And the problem we are having in our world today, why people are not understanding or hearing the true gospel, is that they are not reading. They are not reading the word of God. Nobody is reading the word of God. Very, very few people are reading. I admit it's difficult. But then it must be done. That is the manual to life. If you don't read the manual to life, how can you know what God is telling you? You must read. It's good to attend churches. Good to read other commentary books. It is very, very important to read the word of God at least every day, because that's the only way God speaks to you. So you read and then you do what the word is saying. The problem we are having the word today, that's what people are deceiving them. Because sometimes if you look at what some people are doing, when you are watching these so-called prophets and their attitude, you can't just understand why normal beings are believing in those people. It's because they don't read the Bible. So whatever they tell them, they think that is what the Bible is saying. And they will keep on deceiving them and deceiving them until the end. because nobody is reading the Bible. So we must read the Bible. We must make sure we hear the word of God. And when we hear the word of God, we must make sure that we also practice it. So the starting point is in knowing what Jesus Christ is saying to you. When you read, you are hearing the word of God, exactly what God wants you to do. So all of us here this morning, what did you do with the messages you hear? If you are a church goer, when you go to church on Sunday, what you are told, what do you do with it? If you go to Bible studies and they told you, they teach you the word of God, what do you do with it? When you read the Bible, what the Bible tells you, what do you do with it? If you are a Sunday school child, when you come to Sunday school and we teach you, what do you do with the word that you are taught? And even the hymns that we are singing, you know, they are all doctrines. So when you are singing the hymns, what it tells you, what do you do with it? You don't just sing and put it back and sing that because you have sung the hymns, you'll be saved. No, you must practice what the word tells you. So what we say, for a church to grow, people who are in that church, it must be people that we gather and people who hear and practice the word. That is the only way that a church will grow. If we come in our numbers, as our brother was saying last week, the way to the destruction, very wide, see, in their thousands. Look at us here. How many are we here? It's all because we are preaching the truth. People don't like to hear the truth. They don't want to talk about their sin and their commitment to God. So they will go to where they are, oh, you are good, you are this, you will prosper, and they want to hear those things. But such churches, you see them growing numerically, physically, they are not growing spiritually. But the people in the churches are not practicing what the word is telling them. So for such churches, they are building their houses on the sand. So even if you are two or three, four people, and you hear and you practice what the word is telling you, you are building your house on the rock. And Christ, the Holy Spirit of God, will work in such churches than where a lot of people are there and yet they are hearing the word and they are not preaching it. So, how many people will hear the word as they were saying in verse 20 and 29 and they feel good about the word? Oh, the word is good. The word is good. They are speaking the truth. I like the gospel. How are you practicing it? How do you take it serious in your life? Without it, then it's better you don't even come. So it is not a matter of feeling good as a Christian, but it's a matter of actually practicing what we hear as a Christian. And when we say, what is the Lord telling us? What are we hearing? What is Christ saying? What is the word of God saying? The word of God is saying that you are a sinner. You were born in sin. Because of the sin, you are separated from God. God is holy, holy, holy. And therefore, according to 2 Peter, because he's holy, we must be holy. That is the only way you can approach God. And how can you be holy? You can only be holy by believing in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, committing your life to him, believing that his death on the cross of Calvary is your only hope, and committing your life to him. That is exactly what the Bible is. The whole scriptures is about this. It's about Christ and how he came to deliver us from bondage, to redeem us from the power of sin and Satan. And if you want to come out of this situation and be blessed by God and ensure that when Christ comes, you go to where he is, you have to repent of your sins and believe in him and commit your life to him. And then the rest will follow. You will be justified and you will be sanctified. You need both. You need the justification, you need the sanctification to be able to be the true child of God. So hearing the word of God and building your house on the rock means that believing in what Jesus Christ is saying and practicing it. Going to him and begging him to forgive you. And he has promised that nobody who will come to him will he drive away. So if you haven't come to Christ and you are here this day hearing me, brother or sister, this is the day. Let today be the day. Repent of your sins. Come unto him. Believe in his cross, the death on the cross of Calvary, as your only hope. Only. When I say only, it means not trusting in that cross and going to some prayer camp as well. Your trust must be on what Christ has done on the cross of Calvary. Because if you believe and you commit your life to him, he comes to dwell in you through your sanctification. So what do you fear? Why should you fear demons? Why should you fear witchcraft? When Christ is dwelling in you, the Holy Spirit is dwelling in you, the Father is dwelling in you. So the most important thing is to have your sins forgiven you. And you can only have that when you believe, when you repent and you believe and ask him to forgive you. So if you haven't come to do this, my pleading to you is that this morning, wherever you are, bow down your head, pray to him, ask him to forgive you, and he will, because he's a God who can never lie. And he has said that if you come to me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He has given us all these promises. It is for you to come.